Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Early this week, we heard the news that The Jeremy Kyle Show has been pulled from TV screens and suspended indefinitely following the suspected suicide of a guest a week after he recorded an appearance on the show. We don't yet know the detail. What we do know is that it isn't the first time that people who have shared their lives on TV have unravelled under the pressure of perceived public scrutiny. Earlier this year, we lost Love Island's Mike Thalassatis, and the year before that, Love Island's Sophie Gradden. So that's why we felt it was time to bring this conversation out into the open and to ask some of the stars of the UK's biggest reality series, how do these shows work? What is the duty of care? Is enough being done to protect contestants? And is it okay for us to be entertained at the expense of sometimes other people's discomfort? So first up today, it's Love Island's Dr. Alex George, one of last year's most popular contestants. This real-life A&E doctor also has his own podcast called The Waiting Room. So Alex, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't promise an intelligent conversation, but I'll be open as I can be.
Well, there is wine, so there's only so far
we can
go with the intelligence.
Yeah. That was the biggest shock, was the fact that I went on the show. My phone was taken off me from my house in Fulham. I was taken with a chaperone, held in like a hotel for a week, literally
held.
Hidden away.
Yeah,
literally held that, and I stayed there for a week.
It is good.
But I came out with, I went in with 200 followers, came out with like a million, and obviously I picked up my phone, and I was like, what?
Also in the studio, Made in Chelsea's Alex Mitten, who is an accomplished DJ, and he's been on screen for years now, working the Chelsea beat. In fact, how many years has it been, Alex?
Do I have to say?
It's
actually nearly eight, I think, now.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Crazy. The thing I found the hardest was the expectation of me. So I bump into people in the public, right? And they have this presupposed expectation of me. And I'm like, do I play
Judging.
That character? Do
Judging
I am
people.
I forced
That's what
to
I mean,
be
right?
That?
That's weird,
like, or
right?
Or do I just be me?
And completing today's lineup, she is Towie royalty. Although I can't believe it, you haven't been on screen for about 5 years now. Frankie Essex.
Hello. I felt like I've got to live up to this expectation of being Frankie Essex from Towie, and I'm not really into all that. I just want to be me.
You heard what I had to say about reality TV, and I guess, you know, you are all products of this relatively new phenomenon. So I guess in the first instance, I'd just love to know how you ended up being on screen. I mean, Frankie, obviously, Joey was already a part of the Towie family.
Yeah, so Joey was already obviously on Towie, and I think I was asked, but I had like a new little job in the city, so I was a bit like, no, I've got a new job, I've got to crack on. And then within like 6 months, Towie just blew up, and I thought, yes, I'd that. Now I need clothes.
I'm in.
I want to go on holidays, yeah.
I want to be in Marbs.
Yeah. I was a baby, like, that was 10 years ago.
But suddenly, it must have felt, Frankie, like, pennies from heaven. Yeah. You guys were celebrated, lauded, applauded. Everybody loved the inner workings of this small pocket of Essex.
Yeah, it was mad.
And still proud to be a cast member of TOWIE?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Now, Alex, how did your on-screen debut come about?
Well, it was actually kind of a similar story. So I was working just down the road from this studio. I just started a new PR job and was trying to sort of do the official route.
You had a proper job.
I had a proper job, as they call it. And the producers phoned me, and I had an ex-girlfriend from about 4 or 5 years ago who was on the show at the time. Do you know what? To be honest, I thought it wasn't very cool. That's what I thought. So yeah, I didn't do it because I thought I was going to get rinsed by my mates. And that did happen to a degree. But, you know, if they're good mates, they only do it nicely. Do you know what I mean? So I originally said no. And then they phoned me back 4 months later. And by that point, I'd been sat at a desk for 4 months. So I was like, yeah, sweet.
I changed my mind.
Sign on the
chair. Yeah, yeah. I know. It's like real life. Nah, fuck that.
Like how bad can the rinsing be? It's worth it. Yeah,
yeah, no, exactly.
Can't be that bad.
I can take it. It looks more glamorous than you think, Claire. That's another spin.
Well, I said to my work, I said, look, you know, can you let me do it? And they said, yeah, okay, as long as it doesn't interrupt too much. And I said, no, look, I promise you, I'll still work as hard as I can, and I'll be there every day. First day, they were like, yeah, we need to take you to Barcelona for 5 days. Wow. So I phoned my boss, and I was like, yeah, can I go to Barcelona? And they're like, you can, but you're fired. I was like, okay. So that was work.
Because let's also be honest, you don't make a lot of money on these shows, right? It's a token payment at best.
No, exactly.
Can you remember what your first paycheck was? Your date rate?
£50 a day if we filmed.
50 if you filmed?
If we filmed. And if you didn't film, you didn't get paid.
And how long's the film day?
I think we was on call for like 6 weeks. So we had a text message at between 7 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night saying you've got filming tomorrow, 10 a.m. faces. Glam, da da da.
Faces is a nightclub, by the way.
Faces is a nightclub, yeah. So be there at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Couldn't go out Saturday night if you made.
And then what would a shoot day, like you'd be on set from what time till what time?
Oh, sometimes you'd be on set till about 4 in the morning.
For 50 quid?
It's different now.
You break it down by hour.
They're organised,
right? It's
now.
Probably an illegally low payment.
That's more than Love Island.
What did you get on Love Island, Dr. Alex?
We had a travel expense of £200 a week.
But you don't go anywhere, you're just in a villa.
Yeah, to be fair, you don't actually
so
go.
We can't go anywhere, yeah. Yeah, we definitely had a curfew, yeah. Not out of boundaries.
So obviously money is not the driver.
No.
And you did you know people in the cast? I'm going to call you Dr. Alex for the purposes of people being able to understand which Alex
I'm
talking
to.
So Alex Chelsea. Alex Chelsea and Dr. Alex. Alex Chelsea, did you know people in the cast? Were you kind of on the fringes of that friendship group?
Yeah, so I knew quite a few of them. I obviously had my ex, my first ever love was on it at the time.
And who was that?
A girl called Phoebe Thompson.
She was hot.
She was pretty annoyed to see me turn up.
She didn't know.
No,
you didn't text her.
I didn't let her know.
Were you surprised by her reaction?
No.
So when they bring you in to come on the show, do they do that? And Dr. Alex, please do join in. Do they sit down and kind of like do a brain dump on like, okay, so what's your life? What's your relationship backstories? So that they can then knit some of that into the script.
You drunk, and yeah, I remember they filmed it.
Suspect like the. Love Island's probably a bit different because it's ultra constructed reality, isn't it? Whereas like there was an element you're in like the real world or has been. Whereas we were like cast to be put in this really controlled space, almost like maybe Big Brother style, isn't it? You're just kind of put in there.
Different every day.
Oh, it's Big Brother with good weather. Yeah.
It's Big Brother with good weather. But yeah, I think it's probably a bit different. But they did like dig into everything, like your relationships, trying to work out what kind of person you are. And I think a lot of it's trying to work out how you're going to react in certain situations. They know they want certain characters for certain
and these are
things.
Chats with producers at this point, not psychologists or therapists.
No, but I think most shows use, as I understand, they use psychoanalysts to look at the footage and tapes and interviews to kind of say, well, yeah, this person's probably going to react in certain ways, because that contributes to the kind of build-up of who you are, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You were both in jobs. You'd resisted and went, no, I've got a proper job, and then realised, I don't like my proper job. Whereas you, Dr. Alex, had spent 7 years qualifying, doing the worst hours known to man to become a doctor, which is something you still love. Why on earth did you want to go on Love Island?
It was a difficult one. And that's why when they asked me to come for an interview, I said, look, I love the show. I think it would be an amazing thing, but it doesn't really go with what I'm doing. I'm happy. Like, I am happy with what I'm doing. But it was funny. I remember the conversation with my consultants. They were just like, it's something so different. Like, just take the opportunity to go. Just go and see what the interview's like.
And did you think twice about it?
I nearly pulled out probably a week before. A week before going on the show, I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, it must have been scary.
My fear was that I would lose it, that it would, I'd do something. I knew I wouldn't, but I was a fear that in some way something would look, the medical council would go, do you know what, you're not coming back. Because I called them for advice before and they said, we don't really know what to say to you. This hasn't happened. Like, in this kind of way, like someone has built a media profile as doctors have done it in an organic sense. And I've kind of, they were like, we haven't had this before.
What did your family say?
They were like, if it's not going to affect your career, then it's something that it's just an opportunity you can't really say no to. And I think that's what it came down to. It's like, will I regret not doing it?
It could have affected your career. I mean, like, you're going on a show where people have had sex, right? Yeah. That's probably not the greatest look for a doctor.
But then, Mike, do you know how it was put, though? And my consultant said this, and I thought, do you know what? A perfect way of putting it. I said this to him actually in the department. I was chatting to him about it, and he said, look out of that window into the waiting room. All of them are having sex. They're probably doing it. They've done it this morning, doing it tonight. You have sex. We all have sex in here. If you got on TV, why does it make a difference? You're no different to anyone else. It doesn't matter.
And do you think the medical council would have taken the same view?
I think probably they would have had to.
Yeah.
It's not something that's unnatural. It's not a crime. It's nothing that's wrong. But for me, I didn't want to.
But there a girl on, was it Love Island? And she... Miss Bridges.
Oh, yeah. She lost her title. Yeah. She had sex on...
I think that was because she had sex on the show.
I think that's unfair, personally.
Which, when you think about it, actually is kind of wrong in a way. You know, as you say, sex is very natural.
Well, it's how we all get here, right?
It's such an important part of like life and our happiness, and like when you talk about like Maslow's hierarchy of need and stuff like that, it's right on the base of that. But I think my personal thing was that I didn't want to, so I made the choice that I wasn't going to, and that was my thing. That was my decision.
I can categorically say I would never have sex on TV.
Yeah. Never. I wouldn't that even was my kiss. Decision. My dad watches. I've got a lot of respect for my dad.
You wouldn't even do a kiss? Nah. That must have caused problems, Frankie.
Yeah, nah, did the producers not kick up a fuss about that?
No. Nah.
Did you kiss Alex Chelsea?
I kissed a couple of times. Did you? The first time took me so much. I was so scared I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I bet.
And these were with your real-life girlfriend?
This was... I was dating someone at the time, yeah.
Yeah. You had about three girlfriends on the show that I remember. One with the name Lettuce.
She was an ex, yeah. Oh. That was the first name. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Phoebe Lettuce Thompson. And then there was Binky.
It's so funny, when you're talking about this, we're at med school, we all absolutely love it. Like, literally, we have
sort of brain numbing.
Yeah,
it was like...
It's a really mixed up reality, isn't it? We've all watched each other on telly. Okay, so we've established your reality TV creds and why you did it. Can I just, before I close this question off, did you want to be famous?
Personally, no. I just kind of did it for the why not.
Why not, Alex?
I personally never ever saw myself. I'm quite introvert naturally, so anything like that kind of scared the shit out of me. So I didn't really ever see myself as being famous. And then suddenly overnight, it sort of happens. You have to adjust quite quickly.
And Frankie, you kind of knew. You'd seen your brother being.
I'd seen my brother, but I was always. I'm like my brother's mum, so I was always worried about him going on PAs up and down the country for like 4 hours there, 4 hours back driving in one night. So I was more like, just wanted to be there to look after him, mate. But once I was in the show, I got it. I got how it works and why. So I understood. Not that I'm controlling, but I have to know if everyone's all right and da-da-da. But, yeah, I didn't want to be famous. But, like you said, it just comes with it and you have to have a thick skin, really.
Well, listen, I'm gonna refresh your glasses because we're going to move nicely on to question two, which takes this conversation naturally forward.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So question number two, what was it like being effectively accelerated from zero to hero overnight? And was it overnight? Was it that instant from the moment you appeared on screen?
I mean, I imagine for something like Love Island, it probably was, because Love Island was just, it was crazy. It was like a phenomenon.
It's just ridiculous.
Except you wouldn't have tasted that until you got off the island.
That was the biggest shock, was the fact that I went on the show. My phone was taken off me from my house in Fulham. I was taken with a chaperone, held in like a hotel for a week, literally
held.
Hidden away.
It's not even
held,
abducted.
Literally held. No, they were brilliant. To be fair, like, they were brilliant, looked after you and all that, and I stayed there for a week. I think it was released on like a Tuesday, so I'd been out there for 3 or 4 days that I was on the show. So I was then hidden from going almost out, because it was in all the papers, even in Spain, apparently.
So does it release when you've come back? Is the show already over before...
Oh, yeah, so when you're there, it's a 24-hour editing. So literally, when you do a day, they edit it overnight. Okay.
Like Big Brother.
Yeah.
They literally kick it out so quick. The turnaround is unbelievable.
But of
really.
Course, you don't know about all this famous building, so nothing. It's like...
You've got no idea what you're coming home
this
to.
This bomb is growing.
That would terrify me.
It is scary. It's like, you don't have any access to your phone. They are so strict. So I came out with... I went in with 200 followers, came out with like a million, and obviously I picked up my phone, and I was like, what? Brilliant. And for me, I was just...
You go straight to your DMs.
I'm an introvert. I think I'm very much like yourself, and I looked at it, I was like, shit. Because it was 4 a.m, I was on the way to the airport. They literally on the way to Uber. Just an Afterson Live with Caroline Flatt, and the first time I've been in a room with like more than 40 people, because I had a live audience. So going to the airport, they had like 8 security guards for us when we arrived to take us to the plane, because I was like, what is going on? 4 a.m, they were going mad there. We landed in, I think it was Heathrow, I can't remember which, and they took us out at a different exit because people were like, journalists and all that were going mad. And it was just, I was literally, and I was terrified, I was shaking like
you've
a
become
I wasn't excited.
Justin Bieber overnight.
I was shaking. I mean, but for me, it felt like that. It wasn't. I mean, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like for them. But I was literally, I remember like shaking like this, and they took me straight to Loose Women. At this point, I had no management, no agent. I had literally a 5-minute call with my family, my mates. I said to my mates, look, get
head
down to the studio.
Like, what is going on?
I hadn't been to bed, and they just pushed us onto Loose Women. They literally let go and have all the Loose Women. And let them ask you all your questions.
See, now what you're describing there—it's
a lot.
It's a lot, right?
It's a lot.
Yeah, and my chest has tightened listening to that.
Yeah, it's like anxiety.
My question is: you're an intelligent man. Imagine if you weren't. Imagine if you weren't mentally prepared for that. How do you cope, Alex? How would somebody who isn't mentally strong cope with that? That it's almost like a life swap.
Well, I don't think intelligence equates to strength. I think that's the first thing. But like,
no, and that's very good. You're absolutely right. My bad.
And in some ways, like, I actually was incredibly naive. I think I was actually one of the weakest coming out, because I looked this way. Like, a lot of the people on there already had management. They were models. They were in the media in some way. Loads of them had 70,000 followers and all that. I had no awareness of any of that. I was completely, you know, working in A&E and stuff like that. I have no exposure. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to it. So I was actually, in a way, really kind of vulnerable when I came out. I was very lucky, actually, that... The producers came with me to every... One of the producers, Lewis, was amazing, and he took me to meet all different management teams, to like
find
me a team.
That's really
like
nice.
He literally stayed with me. They said to him, look, you just look after him day after day to meet everyone, to sort everything out until he felt like everything was kind of okay. Because I was having like my mate set up an inbox. 500 emails a day was coming in, like, can you do this, can you do that? And I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Who do you trust with your life and your career, really? Like, who do you trust? Do you know what I mean?
But you go into that not knowing that when you come out, A, that's going to be the reaction, and B, you've got no infrastructure to cope with it, let alone the emotional tools to navigate it.
Yeah, I always say, like, you know, an actor trains for years in their profession, or a footballer, they train for years. They're almost building to achieve that level of fame, and they're kind of a bit prepared for it, whereas reality TV stars, it's like... smack in the face, here it is, deal with it kind of thing. I was the same. I didn't have an agent or anything, and it was just like little Bambi just sort of wandering around.
And did you, Frankie? Did
I was quite lucky because I have my cousin Chloe, and she has an agent, so I just went with her.
Chloe Sims.
Yeah, she's my first cousin. So Joey had his agent, Dave, who he's still with now, and he will be forever. But I went with Chloe, and Chloe kind of took me under her wing. She always has done. I was very lucky and protected.
Protected is a great word. Right?
Yeah, I was.
Where
I was protected.
It's process. So I know that since the incredibly sad news about Sophie and Mike taking their own lives, you know, things have really stepped up, for example, at Love Island, and the bosses there are about to overhaul their aftercare policy. In future, producers have said that they will be bespoke training for all future contestants, that they'll be taught how to deal with things like social media, financial management, after achieving this kind of, 500 emails a day asking you what to do because you're suddenly famous. And they're on it, they say. What was your experience of that as you entered into this, all of you? Were you sat down and screened? Were you seen by psychologists? And were you assessed for your mental well-being and to make sure that you could cope with what they knew was coming your way?
I mean, we had assessment, so you have a psych test.
No, but when they sit you down and do the psych test, is it an hour? Is it half a day? Is it regular? Do you see people on a regular basis?
From Jeremy Carr.
Graham does all the shows.
It's like they try and beat, not like they try and get it out of you. It's weird.
But Frankie,
and I'm an emotional person, holding back the tears. I thought if I cry, they might say no. I might get an X.
Nah.
So I was holding them back. But you do, because I wanted it, and I wanted. I've done it now. I've just this one last bit, and I'm on the show.
So would you have at that point concealed maybe some of your vulnerabilities emotionally in order to not?
Not in a way, because I spoke about things. I'm quite open how I am. Like I do suffer with depression. So I'm very open. I lost my mum at a very young age to suicide. So I openly speak about that. And that was quite a big thing on the show for me as well, for the public, for other children, for other men and women to notice that me and Joey and Chloe as a family had lost someone very close to us all. But we were still all right and we were still together. And I still think of this day that all three of us are so lucky to have that experience together. Then Chloe's brother come on. And now Chloe's little sister's on the show. So it's mad how all our little families come together in a way, and it's lovely.
But when you sat down and assessed, you and Joey, the fact that you had lost your mum to suicide at a really young age.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've spoken openly about the fact that you suffer with depression, you have anxiety.
Yeah.
Were they asking you about that? Were there concerns about that for you?
Yeah, we just had someone. We had a lady called Claire and Graham. I think it was like once a week we had a phone call, so just to talk about. But like I said, I'm so open. Not that I have to talk about it to anyone, because I can talk about it to my friends and family, and whatever. So
you felt that there was a sufficient level of a duty of care. Would all of you agree with
and
that?
And if you ever did need to speak to someone, that Claire was always there.
Yeah. It's really helpful because you can feel so isolated.
Yeah.
Because you've got a million voices on social media saying this and that, and. You don't really know who to speak to.
Mine was more after, though, when I left the show.
Really? And was that care still there for you?
No. Mine was more when I left the show, I was a bit like, oh, what do I do now? Because obviously I still had my little dips and dabs with, like I still do now, but it was like, what do I do? Like, what do I want to do? And I was just lost because I was still in this Frankie Essex Towie, but I was like, I ain't Frankie Essex Towie, I'm me. I'm not a character,
even
I'm
when
me.
You leave,
like,
you've still got
still
your social media trail, which says, she's famous. Like, you can't really escape.
Like, how's this one? How's that one? I'm like, yeah, they're good. But, it's like, how am I?
And with the show
he's
still
asking me how I am.
Because you're a product of the show and your fame is a product of the show, if you called up the production team and said, I'm really struggling and I need support, do you think that would be there for you?
Did I? I never did.
I'm sure you could.
Maybe, yeah, thinking about it, but I never did.
I'm sure they would never say no.
No, I don't think they would ever say no.
I think, for my, and I only talk from my experience, I certainly with Love Island, we had analysis, we spoke to psychologists, we had 24-hour support on the show, and then the aftercare, in my opinion, for me, has been really good. I've had phone calls in the first few weeks, we had assessments, and actually I because of everything that's gone on and like the way it became so intense, the fame, I asked if I could have some therapy to talk through everything, and I asked for an appointment one day. I also said, like, can I see a counsellor, a psychologist, whatever. And within 24 hours, they'd booked an appointment, said you can have as many as you need sessions. And I'm still having
those.
Did they
follow up with you? Oh,
good. Yeah, I'm still having sessions. So and I think good. It's just, I think it's important because it is just such a big change. And I'm very happy with myself, but I am aware that there are things that I went through on the show which are quite, you know, even stuff like, you know, I laugh about it, going out in front of all the girls being rejected on national TV.
Yeah.
It's quite,
but that's
it's,
quite
it's,
that's good.
It's probably the biggest pying in the history of British TV. But I mean, at the end of the day, it can impact you. It's important to recognise that and recognise that with like fame, there's good things. Like, I got a platform to talk about health and things I'm passionate about. But there's also a bad side. I get trolled a lot. People say horrible things about you. People judge your worth on social media all the time, whatever they believe that to be. So there is this yo-yo all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that is important. I really do think, and I've said this before, when it comes to reality TV and they talk about, obviously, the sad passing of Mike and Sophie before, reality TV isn't the cause of that. It's a wider social issue. Yeah. Mental health is worse in this country than it's ever been. Yeah. Social media is does impact on that. And if you look at it, it's around every 90 seconds someone calls the Samaritans in crisis. And you know, you look at the latest statistics show that two in five men who would want to have help would never ever ask for it, even if they were suicidal.
That's the thing, I think, especially with some of the guys on Love Island. You know, it's quite macho, strong men who. To go and approach and say, I want to talk to someone is a reduction of that. And I think they probably didn't do it, even though it was offered.
Social media, you're trying to show this life of, oh, I'm having the high life. I'm having the most amazing time ever.
Yeah.
So if you go and ask for help, you're kind of telling everyone, actually, I'm having a shit time.
Yeah.
And that's, well, I think the problem.
So but it's like my mum was she embarrassed? Like, it was, what, 18, 19 years ago. It was unheard of to be depressed. It was very quiet and kept as one of the things. But now people talk about it every day, like we're talking about it here now.
It's really sad.
I mean, my concern in all of this, having been through some of this myself, you know, I know what it's like to be well known, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's not regular. It's not normal to be stopped and asked for your picture, right? Not everybody has that, right?
You don't want it. You're just like, oh.
Well, it's not even that. It's just that that's just not how most people live, right? So just those little things that punctuate your everyday, that's not how most people live.
No. Mm.
And I think you've got to have your head around it to be able to cope with just the fact that you don't have the same day-to-day existence that possibly everyone else does. Mm. There's huge upsides to it, but you just have to know what to do with it. My worry is, how somebody who isn't mentally strong or astute or well would cope with this huge change in their life when fame comes flooding over
this
you.
Is the risk, and a part of it, I think, is the people apply. And I've said this, I've been asked a lot about the applicants for this year of Love Island. I said on my own social media, really, really think about why you're going on the show. If you're trying to do it to be famous and make money and from being famous, I would say that's a really bad reason to do it, because most people that go on Love Island, to be honest, won't make massive amounts of money, and they won't necessarily have
but
this
be really
like
honest,
lifestyle.
Why else do you think they're going on? They don't really think they're going to like meet their wife or husband, do they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a bit naive, but I genuinely went on the show because I thought it would be an amazing experience. I'll be away for a few weeks on a holiday, and I'm single. I might meet a girl. Like, I didn't
you
think.
You genuinely thought you.
Yeah,
might
I didn't.
Meet
I didn't think that I'd meet someone like, oh, I'm going to marry them. But I thought, you know, I might meet someone I like or whatever.
And
I
do
thought,
you think
why
that
not?
Was most people's intentions that ended
I
up
think
there?
A lot of people there. That was their intentions, more than people probably realise, because their screening process is unbelievably intelligent. The psychoanalysts and stuff, they can pick out most people who are there for the wrong reasons. Some do get through, obviously, but
so in your own experiences, do you think that in the wake of these tragic losses of lives that reality TV's had a bit of an unfair rap? You're saying that you've been in the trenches of it, and you've had the relevant screening processes, the support that you need when you need it, when you've asked for it.
But like, I think when I was say 22, when I was getting interviewed for the show and I went to go on the show, whatever, I didn't really think about. Obviously now it would be different because it's more spoken about, but when I did it, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to be sad, and I'm going to, that didn't even pass my mind. Do you know what I mean? Not until there was like dramas on the show, and then it gets brought home, and then family are arguing, it all behind the back doors, then you think, oh my God, what is going on here? And then, but then it's all right, and it's like swept under the carpet, but then you leave, and it's one of the things, you have to like grow a thick skin and put on a brave face, but then at home you're a bit like, oh,
It must impact your real life because I know it's constructed, but the reality part is it's you. You're not playing a part. You're playing you. You are you.
That's where the lines are so blurred. And the thing I found the hardest was the expectation of me. So I bump into people in the public, right? And they have this presupposed expectation of me, and I'm like, do I play
judgy.
That character? Do
judgy
I?
Am people. I? Supposed
that's what to I mean. Like, that's weird, like,
or
right?
Or do I just be me? And you know, because
yes,
that, actually, one of the hardest times is when I'm really hungover, and you're quite vulnerable in those moments. And I'm like, you know, I go into the shop, and I'm like, oh fuck, if I bump into someone, I've got to be that guy. I can't be like, oh fuck, I'm hanging. I've got to be like, hey, I'm that smiley, happy guy off Made in Chelsea. Like, and after a while, it becomes a little bit stressful to have to do that.
It can be hard if you're having a really bad day. If it,
yeah, you're special. Boy, you ain't got to put makeup on and do your hair.
Yeah, you two don't know you're born.
You don't even understand about having frizzy hair.
The problem with reality TV is that a lot of the public, they view characters as simply that. They're just characters. So they just fire abuse because they think, oh, they're not, you know, they're like, it's like a soap drama. But actually, it's real people. Yeah. So.
But then in their defence, so much of what we see isn't reality because it's constructed.
They want you to be sitting in this room, us four together, and then, oh, so that person walks in who you don't like, but he's standing behind you, and I'm like, oh, no.
So it's quite, it's quite manipulative.
That's such a tense moment.
It's manipulative, right?
You can kind of, if you know that, you know, you've got, it's like a chemical reaction. You've now got element A and element B. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put them together, you know that 9 times out of 10, this is what's going to happen. And I think that's
lovely analogy,
exactly.
Dr. Alex.
But I think that's what it is. Like, they know if they put me as an introvert in a room with someone who's an extrovert, this person will dominate the conversation. You know, that's how I think they know that.
And do you think that's exactly why they do the psychometric tests at the beginning to understand what your kind of your reactions will be, what your hotspots are.
When I was going through a particularly bad patch where I cheated on an ex-girlfriend like numerous times, and there was all this shit going on, and it
must have been really difficult.
It was a hard time for sure. It gave me such a thick skin.
Did it deter you from ever cheating again?
Yeah, it really did. You know, it put everything on such a wide scale, and it made me realise how.
I suppose you grew up though a bit.
It was a real hardcore way to grow up. It was like, you know, you can't do this. This is what happens. Look at the upset you caused.
I've got to say, I feel so lucky that I was on a show that I didn't have to do that.
How
you watch it back?
It puts it on a projector.
Emotion,
essentially.
Do you think that being reality TV stars has impacted your mental health? But every job has its ups and its downs.
Oh yeah, like I've worked in many jobs. Like I've worked in office, I've worked in retail, and obviously in work you do, but it is different every time. And probably really, Towie, you had that helping. You had like it was like a mini family, so you all supported each other. Whereas in other ways, like in retail and salons, bitchy.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's interesting. So actually, you don't think it's been any more detrimental to your mental well-being than any other professional gig you've taken on in your life?
No.
Okay. What about you, Alex?
I guess it's quite hard to say without having lived a different life. But
how long did you have a normal job for?
It wasn't that long, actually. It was about a year.
Right.
But I've done
huge comparison.
I did lots of jobs before that. I actually stacked shelves in Sainsbury's on the night shift. Two very different lives. I just never expected myself to end up doing TV. It was never something I perceived myself. As I said, I'm an introvert, and something like that, you know, it scared the shit out of me. But what's been great from doing it is it's actually made me open up, and I'm a bit more confident, and I can get out there and I do shit that I would have freaked out. Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do that sort of stuff.
So it's not been negative.
It hasn't been negative. I don't have any regrets.
You're more confident as well. Like, I can exactly say the same. Much more confident. I remember when I was at school, I would stand up in assembly and talk. No way, I'd cry.
So that's interesting. Yeah,
confidence.
Because
wow.
I think the way reality is reported is black and white. It's either good or evil, and there's no middle ground. And I think there's middle ground in every scenario in life, right?
I always believe that whenever there's an up, there's a down. I'm a believer in if there's a positive deflection, there's the opposite. So when there's good things happening, there are going to be bad things as well. But that affects everyone in every demographic society, and that's why mental health doesn't actually distinguish.
This is really interesting to hear. And yet I'm sat here with you two boys, the Alexes, have both said in this conversation that you've asked for help during your time in the public eye. And it's great that you feel that you can just say that and share that. but you've obviously felt that you needed it. So what can I ask, and tell me if I'm pushing too much here, but what was it that you needed to better understand that you needed professional guidance on?
So I've been in twice to see somebody, and the first time was relationship. And the stuff that I discussed, I was finding it very difficult to understand how I was acting the way I was and trying to deal with the fact I was lying on TV and trying to, because you sort of get, you know, you're almost pigeonholed and you're stuck and you've lied on TV and then you can't escape that lie. Yeah. So you're like, fuck, I've got to carry on lying. So that was quite hard to deal with. And then
that's a nightmare, actually, Alex. Now you're saying that, I'm like,
because in my mind I was at this crossroads. It was like, right, either lie and try and get away with it, and there's a small chance that I might, or admit to this, you know, horrific thing that I've been doing, and everyone hate me. So I did the coward's thing. I was like, right, let's take that, you know, 2% chance, because obviously it didn't work. And I ended up looking even worse. But, you know, it's just, you know, life lesson, really. Mm. And then the second time was my mum felt ill, so it was, I was finding that quite difficult to deal with.
I totally understand that. And I'm very sorry to hear about your mum, Alex.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And that goes back, actually, to my mum's funeral was recently. And I would have never, ever had the confidence to stand up and speak in front of people like that. And from having done reality TV and standing up, I was actually given the gumption and I was able to do it. And I don't think
it's
I would
like
have.
It's like you do yourself proud, I suppose. And you're just like,
it felt really nice to be
that.
Able to.
It's amazing.
It's interesting. You've both said that, both Frankie and Alex. And did you find that really helped in that moment?
It felt really nice to be able to speak and just get that emotion out. Do you know what I mean? Cause
and speak on her behalf.
Exactly. I just wanted to be able to proclaim how much I loved her, you know, and try and express that as much as possible. But I really don't think I would have been able to stand up if I hadn't done, you know, TV and stuff.
And you did it beautifully on Instagram as well, by the way. What you wrote was lovely.
Well done.
I defy anyone to read it with a dry eye.
Yeah. It's a very brave thing to do, isn't it? Stand and speak and even write something so personal. So, yeah. Amazing.
So it's interesting that you're all sharing things that you've gained from this process that people wouldn't necessarily acknowledge. Confidence, self-belief, self-confidence. You know, that's stuff that maybe wasn't there before. Do you think the reality process has given as much as it's taken?
It's weird because you talk, for me, actually, the reason I went for therapy is because it took away a lot of confidence I had. Because I, in a very animalistic way, I was put on in front of all these people, and pretty much most of the girls had no interest in me on the show. So I came off it, obviously, completely
that,
like.
I mean, obviously, they just don't know a steak when they're trying to look for a hamburger.
I don't know if that's fair, but I mean, I didn't have that thing. So I came off being like, oh my gosh, like, I'd lost myself a little bit. So that's why
I suppose you had a bit of confidence,
like massively. I mean, it was. I just want to say it was one of the worst moments of my life walking out in front of like, because I knew, because you know, you're very well aware this has gone out to a lot of people, my family, friends watching. All of them knew, because I was an introvert, that the worst thing that could happen, because I'm not someone who goes up to girls and bars and stuff like that. So I was literally, the worst thing for me to happen would be like I have that.
Don't worry about it.
And I literally, like, my heart. Was literally in the core of the earth. I was literally plummeted. Oh, oh my God. And it was probably the worst week of my life, that first week. I can honestly say that.
In the
it was horrific. Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, I was devastated. Because I felt ashamed and embarrassed.
I suppose you ain't got no one to talk embarrassed. To.
I felt embarrassed.
It's like you want your mates or
you
want
to check in with your friends and someone go, they're lost.
You have to create this.
And you have to just go on with it. You have to pick up and you expect to kind of like get on with it kind of thing. And I think that's for me why I needed to kind of have that. And also added on to that, I guess, was the kind of dealing with the social media. The social media for me has caused me a lot of angst. Now I'm kind of much more like, whatever.
And do you know what? I think it's hard for people to understand how overwhelming that can be when suddenly you walk into a scenario with 200 people following you and you walk out of it with a million followers and people feeling that they have a right to say whatever they pretty much like to you, that does have an impact on how you see yourself, right? It's got to.
Yeah. Oh, it must do. Like, I've never had that experience.
You've had to stand up to yourself with some trolls.
Oh yeah.
I've seen you screenshot and post trolls and call them out, which, by the way, I applaud.
Sometimes it's got to be done,
though. Yeah, just there's one that sometimes says, just said, I don't know, they just said the wrong thing, I'm not right. Because I know, I don't often do it, but like, sometimes you are just like, and you just got to take them out, and you're just like, right, that's it.
Always imagine if he was just you and something that happened. You'd be like to your mates, oh my God, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for me, it's been like when I've had a few drinks.
You're just like, right.
I'm like, right. Next morning, I'm like, delete.
Oopsies.
Are you ready for one last question and one last glass of wine?
So ready.
Yeah. Good. Okay, our final question. I want to talk about whether or not you think there is a hangover to reality television, life after the show. Alex, you're still very much a part of Made in Chelsea. Mm. But Frankie and Dr. Alex, you've stepped away from the shows that made you. What's life like when you try to return to some semblance of normality?
Well, mine was quite hard, I'll admit. Like, I just didn't know where I wanted to go, really. Like, I was still, like I said before, in the limelight, a lot about my weight, a lot, a big thing. I don't know why, where it all come from, but just that she's big, she's too skinny, she's too big, it was just like, whoa, like, and I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I still had the lineup, but I didn't really want it. I wanted to do me and be me, do you know what I mean, like I said before.
But did you even know who you were?
No,
by the end of
still
it?
Didn't. And then I was doing the skin and the beauty, and now finally I'm calm.
You've retrained.
Yeah,
you've been,
and I love it. I
should, you've qualified as a therapist.
Yeah, therapist now.
You have a business that you run.
Yeah, and I love it.
But did it take a long time to get to that? Did you find that there was a hangover, that loss of identity? Who am I without the show?
Definitely. 100%. But I still knew I was, but I wanted to do me and have my own, be Frankie. Like, I love chatting to all my clients, and I always did years and years ago before Tari was around doing hairdressing. So I knew I wanted something out of it. But when I finished Tari, I felt like, can I really go back? Can I go back to being a hairdresser? Like, would that be embarrassing?
Why would it be?
Would people take me seriously as a hairdresser? Would people take me serious as a skin therapist? Because I felt like I've got to live up to this expectation of being Frankie Essex from Tawi.
A celebrity.
Yeah. And I'm not really into all that. I just want to be me. I could have gone that route of the Instagram, but I'm not that person. I'm really not. I'm just me.
Well, you're talking about, like, helping an influencer.
And I like helping other people and making people feel good, and that's just who I am, you know. And I found the way of doing it through being a skin therapist, because I'm a therapist, and that's, I like helping people.
How long has it taken you to get back to a happy place, having left the show, where you feel good about who you are?
Probably the last 2 years, I'd say. I've kind of.
So it's like a 3-year transition.
Yeah.
So if you had your time again, Frankie, would you do it all over again?
Yeah, I would.
No regrets.
I've met so many people. I've been like all over. With the money I got when I was younger, I travelled. I'm so lucky, because to say I travelled the world, like, I've been to Thailand 3 times. I've been all over the place, met so many people, got so many friends. Like, it's amazing. And I wouldn't really be able to do that with the show, because I don't know where I would have been without that show.
It's nice to hear.
Emily as well. I think on the whole, I wouldn't change it. I think I've been very fortunate. I also got to do amazing things, go to things I've never been, like, able to do. Like, I love cars. I mean, asked to go and do like car days that I wouldn't ever have got to, or go and, yeah, just do different things I'd never have the chance to. And also, obviously, it's given me a platform to do all the stuff I enjoy with the health stuff.
But you're also back as a doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Which was initially, I was quite scared about going back, because I was like, how is this going to be? But actually, I walked back into the department, everyone's like, kind of a bit of a nice to have you back and all that, all the doctors I've worked with. And because I work in resus, most of the patients aren't in a maybe place that they're going to be asking for pictures, the priorities are slightly different. And I was able to crack on. Resus, yeah. So it's where the sickest patients are. So you're kind of really unwell patients. And I just got to crack on. And
so from reality TV to real life.
Well, I think it. Do you know what?
Reality to resus. That should be your book.
It's back to what you know. It's like, it's like
the thing that scares me, just hearing you say, like, as a young kid, I wanted to be a doctor. The problem is now, because of reality TV,
and we project this aspirational life. You've got all these young 13-year-old kids who go, I don't want to study, I want to be a reality star.
Yes.
And I said before we started, there was more applications for Love Island than Oxford and Cambridge or something like that.
That's a huge mistake. That is a big mistake. That's a fear. I think that, like I said, applying, because, you know, so many people will try and do these things. Like you say, if you fall short, it's a crushing thing. And actually, if that's what you've aspired to, you always want to have what, you know, something that you're passionate about, you go to. And I think that's the important thing. If you go on the show, I think you should always, if you're going to apply to Love Island, you've got to be able to go, do you know what? If this all goes wrong, am I able to? And am I happy to go back to what I was doing before? If it's no to either of those questions, you absolutely should not go on the show. That's
good
my opinion.
Good advice, Doctor. Thank you all so much. How have you found this conversation, reflecting on your choice to enter into reality?
It's been some low-key therapy, yeah.
Low-key therapy. Thank you so much. You are lovely people. I've really enjoyed your company and I've really enjoyed this conversation. And I think the takeaway from it is that, you know, I read about the passing of Mike and Sophie and I thought, God, has this as a TV landscape gone too far? Has this phenomenon gone too far? And talking to you, it's put real balance back into the conversation. It's lovely to hear that you're getting the help and the support that you needed on your shows from the people that are in charge of them. I would expect nothing less, and I'm glad that that's there.
Help is out there.
And if you are struggling with mental health issues and you want to talk to somebody for confidential support here in the UK, you can always call the Samaritans on 116 123 or visit their local branch. All details are on their website. That's samaritans.org. If you would like to get in touch with us, as always, we love hearing from you. You know our address. It's whitewinequestiontime@yahoo.com. We are whitewineqt on Twitter, or you can drop a message to me. I'm the Kate Thornton on Instagram. This programme has been produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo UK. And as always, our music is provided from Andy Bell. He has new material out now with Ride. And of course, his back catalogue with Oasis is available at all good music outlets. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.